As we move further along into our passage, we've been in the book of Malachi. And since we've been in the book of Malachi, we've been touching and going into the Word, just looking and seeing how the honor of God is so important for us to have, just like it was important for them to have an order to worship God. If one does not see God as He is, worship for God in the proper way will be impossible. Then we saw, or we moved on in the first chapter, and we saw that acceptable worship of God, that's what He wants. He doesn't just want us to just worship Him anyway. But as we break into chapter 2, we need to understand that there's truth and there is error in worship. We're going to talk about tonight the people that carry God's word, those that are in the position of the priesthood are supposed to worship God in truth, sincerity and truth, spirit and truth. You see, there's a certain way that a car is supposed to be driven in America. Car, when you're going in a certain direction, whichever direction you're going, you're supposed to be on the right-hand side of the street. And that's in the direction when you're going forward. Well, if you happen to drive on the left-hand side of the street, you can be driving properly, as use both hands on the steering wheel, as they taught us when we were having driver's education at Gainesville High School. One hand in the 10 o'clock position, one hand in the 2 o'clock position. Sitting erect and driving the way that one is supposed to be driving. But if you're driving on the left-hand side of the street and doing that, not only can you cause danger to yourself, you can cause danger to others. Sitting here looking at my brother who I saw a couple of years ago in the hospital right after surgery. No doubt he had some shots of different kinds of medication. If I'm not mistaken, they put him under the knife. If not, I know they put me under when they worked on my shoulders years ago. Now, I don't know what the anesthesiologist used, and I don't know exactly what it was. Evidently, I had trust in him. But let's pretend that what he was put inside of me had 0.3 cc's. And it's, it doesn't matter if he's under, it's under. Let's go ahead and put about a half an ounce in there, which may have been so many cc's that I'd never wake up. Truth matters. So much so that the Bible says when Jesus was talking to this woman at the well, He told her, God is spirit. He's not flesh and bone. He's not the mountain that you hear in Mount Gerizim. He is not your ancestors. He is not your feelings. He is not your culture. God is spirit. You will never see God in physicality like that. And they that worship Him must, that's a strong word, Dre. They must worship Him in spirit and truth. Must! If you call yourself going to worship God and you decide I'm only going to worship Him in spirit, according to what Jesus told that woman, you have not worshiped God. He said, spirit, and there's that little song that I like to play and sing sometimes, that they used to have grammar, little cartoon, and it said, conjunction, junction, what's your function? It said, looking up phrases and sentences and clauses. Spirit and, that's a conjunction, truth. They go together. If you worship him in spirit and air, you're not worshiping him. You're worshiping the figment of your imagination. This message in Malachi is so beautiful. And it is so poignant because of the fact these people, they were representing the priesthood of God. And so sometimes people have the nerve to say, well, you know, that's the Old Testament. Would to God the next time somebody say that, their mouth break out in sores? And that it stay with raw sores. Until they repent of acting as if God didn't know what he was saying in what we call the Old Testament. James, can I get a witness on the stand? What we call the New Testament is almost 2,000 years old. Why do you not call that old?
The Bible says even back in the Psalms. I believe it is Psalms 19. No, it's not. It's two of them. Both of them so pretty. In Psalm 19, it says the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean. Enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true. Righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than what, Gary? And what kind of gold? And sweeter also than what? In what? And then he says, and moreover by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is a great reward. The writer went on and said, Lord, who can understand this false, and his error?
Cleanse me from secret faults. The moment you decide that you're going to worship God and it's not in spirit and truth, you act as if you have found something wrong with the way that God has set up for you to worship him, and you are going to correct it.
And that's called presumption in the Bible. But the scripture that I was thinking about was actually Proverbs 30:5. It says, every word of God is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And guess what? Add thou not to his word, lest you be found a liar, and he reprove you. Well, now that I've had my rant about people and talking about the Old Testament, boy, I tell you, I feel like just preaching. You know, it's like you want to throw away the Old Testament. So in the beginning, and we don't have any more in the beginning what God did. What happened? Where do we get the water from? Do we hear anything about the face of the water? Why is there always oil and stuff all over the earth? And why are there trees and stuff in caves? Because there was a flood! What do we know about Abraham? And what do we know and how do we know who we are supposed to be? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I don't know why I want to go to 19, must be something in there juicy. But the Bible makes a statement. And Peter tells these people, these strangers that are getting ready to go through persecution. He said, you are a chosen generation. The amazing thing about that being a chosen generation, it's reminiscent. Walk with me mentally, please. When I was reading the Bible and enjoying it like I do, and just seeing how God operates, seeing how the King works, I realized that he saves some people. He delivers them out of their fears. Rebuked Pharaoh and his whole army and the nation, and they plundered them. They bound the strong man. God bound the strong man, Pharaoh. Pharaoh who said, who is that God? Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? Pharaoh talking that Nebuchadnezzar kind of talk. Pharaoh talking about, I will not let you go. Well, we'll just let Some of the men go. Moses said, we got a certain amount of days to go, and I'm telling you the truth. Pharaoh said, you're not going to get to go all those days. But the scripture has not been written yet that they that serve God must worship him in spirit and truth. Moses knew from the time he did not worship God in spirit and truth, and God almost killed him. Did you know that? Did you know that in the book of Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham, probably his name was Abram then because he didn't have all the children yet. God changed his name before he had the children erased that. He told Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, walk before me and be perfect. And this is what I'm going to do. I want you to take every male born that is born in your house of your slaves or whatever, and I want you to circumcise him in the flesh of his foreskin on the eighth day. That is a sign. It is not the covenant, but it is a sign, a token of the covenant that I have with you. Abraham obeyed, and he circumcised all the men that were in his household. Yes, he did. He did that. And those men that were circumcised were brought under the covenant that God had with Abraham. God had told Moses to go out and tell Pharaoh that I said, that's that God kind of talk right there, Jane. I hope you like it. In other words, when I say it, it's going to be done. Now you can either be a willing participant or you can be dragged along. God said, Israel is my firstborn. Let him go. That he may what? Serve me. Not that he can go be king. Not that he can go and serve me in the kind of way he wants to. That he may go and serve me. I want him to serve me like I want to. But if you don't let him go, what I will do is kill your firstborn. Didn't he say it? Well, guess what? Moses is going to go do what God said, and he hadn't circumcised his son. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. And there's an enigmatic scripture there. It's an enigmatic scripture. I don't know how many times I had read that scripture before I understood it. I mean, I understood what happened, but I didn't fully understand why. Looked like Gary turned to it. Gary, read it. Well, see what the word of God say right there. It's so pretty.
And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him.
The Lord met Moses and was going to kill him. Read some more.
Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son.
And she cut that little piece of skin off of her son's penis that obviously she didn't want cut before. And it seemed like Moses went along with it. But you're supposed to be leading my people. And if you're going to lead my people and have my people to serve me in spirit and truth and cause Pharaoh to bow down when I talk, guess what? If you're a leader, and you're in the position of the priesthood. You're the man I'm dealing with. I've shown you me. I let you see me in the bush. I let you see me bring the dead to life. Did you know he let Moses see the dead brought to life? You see this little piece of wood? If I throw it down and it becomes alive, that's something dead. Life comes out of it. Let his hand go in his bosom. It come out white, just like it's dead. Put it back in and it come back. I've let you see my power. And you had to obey me in truth then. If you'd have picked that serpent up by the head when I told you to pick it up by the tail, I believe you'd have been bitten. Now, you don't ever have to agree with Tim Merritt. You don't have to. But God specifically said, pick it up by the tail, which you don't do to a snake. Turn around and bite. And guess what? He put that nasty hand back in his bosom. Don't you think that if you pull your hand out like that, you'd be scared to put it in there, that maybe it'd affect something else? And he did it. And now you're going to lead and you hadn't circumcised your son. He's not your own son, not in covenant with me. And God was going to kill him. So Zipporah went and circumcised the son, and what happened, Gary? What did Zipporah say with that mouth?
and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me.
That's right. Could have been a dead one to you. You don't let nobody change you and move you from serving God in spirit and truth. And rest fully assured and not yourself. All of that is to say, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, I'm going to show you where we're going before we get there. Moses is in the position of being a priest. Moses is in the position of talking to the people for God, telling the people what to do for God, making sacrifices for the people for God. Not only doing that, but giving people God's laws. In other words, Moses' lips are full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Moses is moving. We talk about being led by the Spirit. Yeah, not only is he being led by the Spirit, but he also gets to meet the angel of the Lord. Moses is a man that's being sent over God's household so that God's household can be taken out of bondage, so that God's household can begin to inhabit the earth and to rule and to reign and to make his righteousness known to the world so that the world can be heavenized. I was going to say habitated and heavenized at the same time, and I came out with habitized. And I tell you, man, you all might want to write some of these words down, and when you hear them come out from other people, Tim said that. The world can be heavenized. The priesthood was set up by Moses. When God said Israel was my firstborn, he took all of the Levites. All of Israel was God's sons. All of Israel represented God. They were the priesthood. Within the priesthood, there was a priesthood. And inside of the priesthood that was for the priesthood of the people that would help the other nations, there was one high priest. Got it? We move a few hundred years and we're in the book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi, I just want you just for one more minute to go with me about 550 years to the time of Peter. Peter tells these people, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I will submit to you that the people that Moses brought out of the wilderness that did not listen to Moses, that did not serve God in spirit and truth, although they were delivered by a man that knew that God wanted to be served in spirit and truth righteously and according to the way that he said, every one of those people of that first generation, 20 years old and upward, for a 40-year period, they died. They died in the wilderness. Guess who was left to go into the promised land? A chosen generation. The generation of them that did not know the difference between right and wrong in their left hand and their right hand. That's how God described it. It was the ones that were not accountable for the rebellion when they would not serve God in spirit and truth. There were two men that would serve God in spirit and truth. They said, if God said it, this is the Spirit. If God said it, that's it. If God said it, that's it. It's not whether we believe it or not. That should satisfy. God said it. I know he said it. That's enough. Other people knew God said it, and they blamed Moses. You brought us out here to die. We wasn't enough graves in Egypt. You brought it. You think that it was coherent? All of those people at one time? Listen to a mob when they make racket. Let's make us another captain and go back. But you're not going back against Moses. You're going back against God because Moses is coming to you in spirit and in truth. Moses has been with God. You haven't. His job is to bring you to the position that you can be in the priesthood and that you can serve God acceptably. So what God did, those that would not listen, he killed them all in the wilderness over a 40-year period. And the chosen generation are the children. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, you get to see the chosen generation. Now, I want you to see when Peter is talking to these people in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he called them a chosen generation. Didn't he do it? Now, understand, Jane, all of those that were in the chosen generation, those children that were 20 years old and under, they didn't die and wait 40 years and go into the promised land at the age of 20, while the older ones were dying off during that 40-year period, the ones that were 20 years old and under were growing up. So in 10 years, the 20-year-old will be 30, and 20, and so on. Peter is talking to people during the time that the generation that Jesus said that would receive the judgment that was going to come upon them. During the time of the generation that the kingdom is going to be taken to you and given to somebody else. That 40-year period between about AD 30 and AD 70, Peter is saying, you all are a chosen generation. In the midst of the one that is a rejected generation. Do you see the parallel? The Bible is pretty. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him that have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the past time you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beg you, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. The same thing that those individuals had that were cursed in the wilderness. They had passions. They had lust. They went against God. They lusted for meat. They lusted for bread. They lusted for leek, onions, and garlic. They lusted to go back. And they turned their mind against God and they fought against the plans of God, but the two that serve God in spirit and truth they maintained. But he said, you got to have your conversation or your behavior honest among the nations. Whereas they speak of you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they behold glorify God in the day of visitation. You want when God brings his judgment. You want when God deals with the anti-Christian Rome, when God deals with those that were Jews that turned away from him and would not follow him and say, we have no king but Caesar. You want them in the day of their judgment or the day of visitation to realize you were doing the truth, just like they did in the days of Noah. I won't talk about Noah right now. You all ought to know about Noah by now. Now let's take this back to our passage and let's see how we're supposed to see that God wants to be served in spirit and truth. We already seen, and I gave you illustrations without reading it, that Moses had to serve God in spirit and truth, and Moses had to make Pharaoh know, this is how you have to serve my God. You don't get to alter, you don't get to change it. It doesn't work like that. You run nothing. Just because you have our body of slaves here, you run nothing. You can kill us if you want to, but we're not taking God no half-hearted service. We know that whatever he wants, we need to be prepared to do it. Bless his everlasting name. Depending on how I feel, whether we go to Exodus 19 and Exodus 24, where God made a covenant with them and say, all the Lord has said, what we do. But we know we could do it on Saturday. We still got a little minute over here in Malachi. Malachi is no joke to play with. It's real word of God. Without chaser. Now I'm going to go to Malachi 2 and 1. I've set the table to show you that what the priests were doing at that time, instead of serving God in spirit and in truth. First, we talked about in the first chapter, they didn't see him as God. So it was an impossibility for them to worship him properly. Number two, the offerings and the things that they brought before God was unacceptable. God does not just accept any kind of worship. But if you're going to deal with the problem of acceptable worship and not seeing God as he is, you might want to start understanding what truth is so that you can get on the right track. All of their problems, if you were to say, Tim, can you just give me one kernel that can show me what their problem was? You didn't take enough time to see God as he was. You were satisfied with saying that you were religious or that you were a priest. Many people that call themselves Christians are satisfied saying, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I ask people sometimes, do you read the Bible? I go to church. That's what they say. I'm sorry, I didn't ask you, did you go to church? I don't know much about when people go to church that making them righteous. I mean, I've been to a football game before and it didn't make me on the team. I heard people say that we won, but they didn't get paid. They got no money for the commercials. They had to pay for their hot dogs. pay for the seat that they were in and got no Gatorade. How did they win? Well, the same thing when they go to church a lot of times. They don't make me believe you love God's sweetest word. Just listen to what these people were like in this temple. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. And if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith Yahweh of armies or Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And there's a conjunction. I will send a curse upon you and curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Can you feel the thrust of that? Just in case it's a little hard for you to feel the thrust of that, let's be kind and let's be a little generous and let's just read it in ESV before I do any explaining. Because I think that sometimes it's nice to open up another version and just let you see how it goes. In ESV, it says, if you will not listen, if you will not take to heart to give honor to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing indeed. I have already cursed them because you lay it not to heart. Now, what he is saying is, I'm going to say it this way, I've already cursed you, and you act like you don't know it. But I'll curse you some more. You don't listen to what I say. What does that mean? Does that mean sit there and put it on a PA system? The microphone, so it'll go, oh, serve the Lord! No. What that means if you don't obey me in truth. When I tell you something, you don't do it the way that I say it, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse you from where I have already blessed you. And guess what? I've already cursed you. And you don't even really know it. You don't even know it. It's almost like the man that finally got the layup with the woman he wants to. And not only is she HIV positive, she's got full-blown AIDS and is very contagious. And he's doing what he wants to do. And he's infecting himself the whole time. You don't even know it. There are times when God will let you get what you want, and that's the very thing that's your downfall. I'm not going to tell you too much about 2 Samuel chapter 12, where David got Bathsheba, he got what he wanted, but a curse was on him from that time. It cursed his house. The sword never left that man's house. So God said, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts. That's a scary thing there. Like, do you recognize it? Like, I'm the Lord of hosts. Then I'll send a curse. It won't be the Assyrians. It won't be the Babylonians. It won't be the Greeks or the Romans. Although it may be the Greeks, the Ptolemies, the Seleucids. It may be some of Herod's people, some of the Idumean Jews. And it may also be Rome and some of your people that turn their back on you as traitors. But it will be me. He says, yea, I have cursed you already because you lay it not to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. In other words, I'm going to bring down, I'm going to rebuke, I'm going to corrupt, I'm going to make even your seed suffer the consequence. Somebody say, but Tim, I remember you reading one time, how is God going to rebuke the children for what the fathers do? What do you think that in the priesthood, the children of the priests are going to learn? Who do you think are teaching them? When they are not teaching righteousness, what is wicked gets to be what is righteous. For instance, we have people to this very day, ministers, supposed to be ministers of the gospel, that when somebody white does something to somebody black, they automatically assume that the white man is wrong. That's ungodly! You ever heard of murder in the first degree? You ever heard of third degree burns? That means it's really, really, really bad, doesn't it? Well, I want you to see how really, really bad this is when you do that kind of mess. Let's go to James chapter 3. I want to skip the tongue part. Let's go to about, I go to the 13th verse. I go to the 12th verse. The 12th verse is good. The 11th verse is good. This is God showing that there should be a difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean. He says, in verse 11, does a fountain send forth from the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield the salt water and flesh? And this is talking about at the time when this is written. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter, envying, and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. You're bitter, envying, almost as if you envy somebody having a different color than you, or a different position than you, and it's already in your heart, not even dealing with the situation. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. I used to hear the old people talking about devilish. It's in the Bible. Listen to the contrast of devilish wisdom. That should not be what's guiding the priesthood. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, with good fruits. Listen. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So when you look at these two scriptures tied together, a devilish wisdom is full of partiality. We cannot be the children of God if we can't make righteous judgments. We won't even hear a case out, and we automatically many times call ourselves Christians and want to condemn somebody, destroy their lives, burn down cities, make fun of people, and say, well, they did something another time. That's earthly. You're envying. You're lying against the truth. We're supposed to be the priesthood. We're the ones that are supposed to be leading people to God, helping them make repentance, helping them come right before God. How can people come right before God when you've got a big bully jumping on somebody and strong arm robbing him and calling the wicked righteous? Calling the wicked and the ungodly righteous! That's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. If you don't agree with me there, it is not the wisdom that's from above, because the wisdom that is from above does not have partiality. And it doesn't have hypocrisy. And the Bible said, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Don't you ever expect me to agree with you, because my skin is black and yours is black. You don't have that kind of power in my life. The day that you could die for me and redeem me and go backwards and create me and create the world that I live in and everything, and then you uphold it by the words of your power, I'll give you that loyalty. And don't you assume because you're a man and a woman do something, I'm going to agree with you because I'm a man. It's partiality. I would not ask my brother, and I'm not going to do it for him. He goes out here and rob and kill somebody and just let him slide. Wicked, he's wicked. Would to God that he die before if I go do something wicked like that and he uphold me in my wickedness. Let me pay the price. And maybe in paying the price, God can scourge me enough and maybe he would grant me repentance. But don't you ever call me righteous when I'm wicked. And as a teacher in this assembly, don't you do it? Don't you do it? Don't you do it for me. Don't do it. You'll be damned. and you'll add sin to my sin. I do not ever want to have to go before God and you led the people against me because they took your word against mine. Dre, you over there real hard. I want you to go to Isaiah 59 and 12, please. And I'm going to go back to where I was in Malachi and finish preaching. I'm going to try to quit screaming. And the Bible says, behold, I'm back in Malachi 2 and 3. I will corrupt your seed and spread dung. That's bowel movement. That's BM. That's defecation. That's waste material. That is what you all used to call D-O-D-O. I'm going to spread that on your faces, and it's not for a mask. I'm going to show you how much I disrespect you. I'm not going to use spit. I'm going to use something else. I will spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, as when one and one shall take you away with it. Do you understand this? Do you remember in the book of the Revelation? The book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Do you remember he said, I walk among the candlesticks? Do you remember he said that? Do you remember he said that if you don't do what I tell you, I will come and remove your candlestick? Do you remember it? That was to the people that was a priesthood, a royal generation, a chosen generation at that time. This is showing you he's the same one. I don't just remove you. I'm going to paint your face first with animal dung, bull, sheep, goat, heifer. Those animals' dung, I'm going to spread it on your face and let you be taken away. Then the Bible said, and you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him. I was going to be his portion. I was going to be the one to sustain him. I was going to be the one to lift him up. I was going to be the one that made him in the position to give my word and feed the people as dispensing out food to the hungry. But you didn't recognize me who I was. You didn't bring me acceptable offerings. And you don't serve me in truth. How much worse can it get? Well, I'm going to spread dung. Bowel movement, waste material, sewage, septic tank food for the maggots on your face. Why is that? Because you ain't doing the right thing. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep for just a little bit. Listen to why he did this. I'm going to verse 7. So that you know where I am in my mind. See, I'm already there in my mind, although I haven't read it. But the priest's lips should keep knowledge. The priest's lips, James, the man that is supposed to stand for me to you, his lips should not be carrying on folly. When Pharaoh told Moses, don't let the children go and the women, Moses' lips kept knowledge. My God said, that's knowledge. Do you know that's your knowledge right there? What did God say? Can you always want to quote a Bible? Because my lips should keep knowledge. Well, the priest's lips should keep knowledge. And they should seek the law at his mouth or the instruction at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. This is where we're going. This is what a royal priesthood is supposed to be. That's why we can offer God the sacrifice of our lips. Or as I read 2 weeks ago, or 2 lessons ago, the calves of our lips. Because they got knowledge. Didn't Gary teach the other night, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge patience, and temperance, and brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity, and if these things be in you and abound, it will make it that you will not be unfruitful. That will mean you will not be going to hell. You will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Somebody say, how does that go that you don't go to hell? Because Jesus says in John 15, every branch in me that bears fruit, the Father works with it and purges it so that it can bring forth more fruit. Ask what you will, it be done, because it's my Father's desire that you bring fruit. But every branch in me, Jane Merritt, Tim Merritt, Gary Merritt, and anybody that's not a Merritt, that don't bring forth fruit, they are taken away. They bundle us up and burn us. They take us away. Why is that? He takes away and burn them in this one. On the other one, they take it away. The dung put on your face and burn you. I'll show you in a minute. Now let's go to Isaiah 59 and 12 and let's see how beautiful the word of God is and why the priest's lips should keep knowledge. It shouldn't just keep knowledge for the priesthood. It shouldn't just keep knowledge for the church. It's supposed to keep knowledge to the world. We are supposed to be the light of the doggone world. Read, Dree, please.
For our transgressions are multiplied before thee.
Now the children of God again. Such a pitiful excuse for what God wants. The transgression of these people are before them. Read some more.
And our sins testify against us.
And believe me, when you got a God that can keep record, your sin will testify against you. Read some more.
For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them.
As for our lawlessness, we know them. We are very intimate with them. What does it say we do?
In transgressing and lying against Yah.
Lying against God. Don't ask me how. I've told you about Hophni and Phinehas having sex with the women like it was okay. When it was time to get the offering, you will give us what we want or we'll take it off for us. Eli. Well, those are my sons.
And when God sent a no-name prophet to you, now I'm not saying the man didn't have a name, but it wasn't enough that we had to know his name in the Bible. Well, we need to know what God said. You dying. You dying. I'm taking the I said you'd have it forever. No, you ain't.
You're not going to have it forever. Because you carried yourself in an ungodly way. You didn't honor me, and you're not giving acceptable worship, and you've gotten to the place that your wisdom is turned backwards. You're not serving me in truth. They're not in what they're doing with the offering and with the women, and you're not because you're honoring them above me. I will be served in spirit and truth. I will be.
Because I'm a mighty king. And I don't play. And some of the old means to say I didn't even like recess when I was little. I didn't believe them, but I understood what they meant. Read some more, dear.
In transgressing and lying against Yahweh. And departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood.
Jane, Gary, Tim, Dree, how is it that people can listen and understand what people are doing and not care when you're lying and you're moving people to do wickedness? Or when you're lying and you're putting people in the position of power that shouldn't be. And people call themselves serving God, but yet God can't get any honor. Or people that are supposed to be walking with God, laying up with boys in their church, laying up with the women in the church, telling people that they are God. And let people call you sweet daddy from the doggone rock. Or you're going to say that this man is the last or the seal of the prophet. How is it that we can do something like that in this day when these people at that time were honoring their leaders above God? They knew God. The whole nation made a covenant with God, not just the priesthood and not just the king. Read some more of God's indictment because it gets really bad because they go with falsehood, because it's popular, because it's politically correct, because your culture likes it, and your culture usually is a cult against God. Read the sweet word of God in verse 14.
And judgment is turned away backwards.
That's what's wrong with Ferguson right now. Judgment is turned away backwards. You got a man that went and robbed the store. You got another man that was with him. You let the man that was with him say that one thing happened and he don't even get locked up. You rob him. I don't care what nationality that man was. That little man was handled and he was scared. And the man that was the guilty one, he testified, and you had living eyewitnesses because it was videoed, and you didn't lock him up, and you let him say that this man was shot in the back and all that, and none of the bullets were in that man's back, and you still want to lock him up. You still know that the gun was shot inside of the car. You, like the man said, witnesses, black witnesses, have testified and said that this is what happened, but the people care? No. Did you want to say he chased him down and the man didn't run? And when witnesses said, and you can read it on the web, you want this house, we're going to let our churches be safe houses. Get the National Guard up. And the people that bomb and rob and kill, yes, one of the witnesses they believe has been killed already. And the people can't go out, or elderly people can't. People that have probably mortgaged their house, took their savings and started a business, and work, can't work, lose their businesses, lose their properties. Things are burned up. No doubt somebody may have died because they couldn't get their medication. Schools shut down, and the taxes are being wasted on all these people out there, the police, and then you're going to march in Gainesville, you're going to march in Atlanta and other cities, and you had nothing to do with it, and the truth don't matter.
And even if it had happened in an ungodly way, and that man is shot, you don't go and take it out on the innocent and burn down their businesses and shut them out of work and cause them to lose their life savings and cause people to lose jobs. So many people that just miss one paycheck may not be able to pay their mortgage. Death is coming on the first of the month. And where are the so-called black leaders? Talking about no justice, no peace. You have witnessed that the boy's hand went up and you throw it, no justice, no peace. What about justice for you breaking windows? What about justice for you jumping on cars? What about justice for you burning down buildings? What about justice for you coveting and destroying? The word of God says, even if by accident I light a fire in my yard and it burned down your yard, I got to replace it. You doing it cause you call yourself upset. And when you have a leader and leaders and a system of laws that allow this kind of thing to take hold, you better hold on to God's word. Because you could be caught in the melees, and guess what? The people could just get away with it. Where's truth? Where's the priesthood? Getting a part of it. Many times, so-called black preachers, black leaders, I want to get to be civil rights person so I can get government grants. And when something happens, they call me, and I can get money. And you have people that will fight you. If you say, I went on the web and I read the report. I get angry. I won't talk about the Trayvon case while I'm teaching, but I'm just telling you, a lot of things are not what they seem like. And therefore, when it is what it seems like, it's hard to believe. But rest fully assured, when the wicked and the ungodly, and those that care nothing about God, most of the time when I see them get a hold of something and they run with it, I smell it really extra hard. I make sure I wash my nose out and I blow it real hard so my smellers are working right. I put my ear up against it. I grab a little taste of it, make sure, because I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons that I stopped doing Christmas. Before I even learned everything about it, it's like, who's celebrating this holiday? Not about Jesus, but that's another issue. So judgment is turned away backwards. You think the man whose store was robbed the first time he got justice? Do you know his store was looted again after that, before they start burning down the city? Justice is turned away backwards. And the same man that went down there to investigate, he sent all these weapons over there to Mexico and allowed our border agents to get killed. When you have people that can run against laws that are supposed to be for everybody, justice is turned away backwards. What else does it say about justice, Dre?
And justice stands afar off.
That's one of the things that happened to me in the church that I used to go to. I couldn't get justice. None of the men wanted to go with me to get justice. Afraid I might lose my position. But it is, Tim, just one person. Let him stomp him. He'll okay. Let him get over. He'll get over. He need to get over. Well, let me tell you something. I know what justice is. I'll tell you something else. A lot of time, that's how God is making you.
You don't even realize it. What if God would have let Joseph cry hard enough and they'd have got him out of the pit? He would have never got to sit on the throne up there in Egypt. What if they had caught Potiphar's wife in a lie? Do you understand that God knows how he wants to make you? We better learn God knows how to make us! Somebody say, Tim, but it still bothers you. Justice is what I'm talking about. My feelings so daggone what? My feelings? Let me just tell you how egregious this thing is. If one of those men had molested me, and they didn't molest me, but if one of those men had molested me and raped me and made me afraid, and I went over to another country and learned martial arts, and I was the best man at martial arts in the world, better than Bruce Lee ever was. So much so that if you're as close to me as Gary is, you couldn't even shoot me with your weapon and I could take it. They pay me, let's say they pay me just $3 million just to let my face be shown in a movie, not even acting. So many $1,000s a speaker just to show up. To get me in a movie over $20 million. And I'm afraid of nobody physically. And somebody will say, well, Tim, are you, you know, do you hate the man that raped you? Do you understand that I would have to say, Because he made me, because of what he did to me, it caused me to be who I am, and I don't have to be afraid anymore. But they say, well, why do you still want him locked up? Why do you still want him brought down? Because he did wrong! Justice does not supposed to lay in the street! I don't want people that did stuff to me killed. Get it right with God. I'll make it easy for you to get it right with me. If you choose to have not, then you deal with God. But in the case when we as people of God, if we don't see what's right, how do we expect those that don't know God's word to see it? Because I'm telling you that our children will get different takes on things at school, and they may be having our children doing marches and rallies over stuff we wouldn't want. So justice stands to fall off, and what is falling in the street?
For truth is fallen in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And equity cannot enter.
Because truth falls in the street and you cannot get judgment without partiality. It cannot happen. Verse 15.
Yay. Truth fails.
God cannot be served if we can't serve him in spirit and truth. And truth is not only knowing the truth of God's word. It's the truth in incidents that we have to judge. It's the truth in the way that we deal with people. We cannot live a lie and say we're serving God in truth. We cannot embrace a lie knowingly because it'll make people like us or they won't get angry with us and say we're serving God. Eli was not the one laying with the women. But justice had fallen in the street. Truth was not being heard. And God said, those that lightly esteem me, I do the same thing to them. I'm going to put dung in your face. That's what happened. Read the rest of that. It's so pretty.
And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey.
Stand up and tell somebody that you read the certain things that went on. Stand up and tell the world when those boys shot those people at Columbine that they did it on Hitler's birthday and they did it because they were following evolution and that was on their computers. Stand up and tell the world what you know many times when this goes against the grain and you can make yourself a prey. You might get your face hit. You might get hit with a bottle. They may ostracize you and take you away from their presence. And this is the thing that was going on in the priesthood. They said they're doing wrong. And God said, even in my house, you tell the truth, you make yourself a prey. They may sue you in federal court and say you stole from them. Read some more, Dre.
Yea, truth fails. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw it. And it displeased him.
Do you think God has changed any? You think this stuff don't displease him? We ought to be in maturity now that we can discern truth and evil. This is the year 2014. How long will we simple ones when we love simplicity and fools hate knowledge and scorners delight in their scorning? How long will it be that we still need milk and not have meat? Faultless, strong meat is for those who are by reason of use exercise their senses to discern between good and evil. That's an idiom. It's the same thing that Solomon said, Lord, I'm a child. I don't know how to go in and out before your people. Grant to your servant a wise and an understanding heart to know good and evil that I may judge between your people. And that's when they brought the two whores. And he did righteous judgment. And the Bible said the people were afraid of God and the king. Because they saw it was in the king to do judgment. The people see that it's in us as the priesthood, the royal generation, the holy priesthood. Do they see us in us to do judgment? I trow not. Read some more, Jerry.
It displeased him that there was no judgment.
And people are so quick in churches to say we're not supposed to judge. But do you see how that's not serving God in truth? Jesus said, John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, judge righteous judgment. God hates it. It displeases him when righteous judgment is not done. Judge not that you be not judged. No, he said, for what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. If I judge you righteously, I want you to judge me righteously. But what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Get the beam out of your own eye. You can see clearly how to judge your brother. Read some more of the sweet word of God. Verse 16. Listen to this.
And he saw that there was no man.
Dream! There was what?
No man.
No man to do what?
And wonder that there was no intercessor.
You don't even make intercession because you ain't made it. You haven't made a decision of somebody's wrong. Most of the time, people are crying for the one that is the attacker instead of the assailant. When that church with no boys got molested, they were angry with the boys and not the molester. So they would have been interceding for the molester instead of the boys. Are you following me? Read some more, Dream.
Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him.
And that's why the Lord had to remove Israel as being his priesthood and take a root and take a stem. And he brought his arm, his salvation. When you look up that word salvation, and it's Yeshua, that's the word. It's, that's where we get Jesus' name from. Yeshua. He brought his son. Now we're going to go back to Malachi. Let's try to close this thing up. It's so much more in it, but I just want us to feel the juice. Go back to verse number 5, Malachi chapter 2. As a matter of fact, just read it all the way down, because I moved from it, started 2 and 1, and take me to 6.
And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith Yahweh of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feet, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name.
Let me give you two illustrations on this. One, the children of Israel built a golden calf. It's around Exodus 32. And Moses came down from the mountain full of God's grace and truth. God had been gracious to come to them. He had God's truth and his commandments. He came down and the people were naked. They had went and served another god. Moses was very upset because he knew that they didn't honor God as he was. Because how could you if you made a golden calf? You definitely can't serve God acceptably. I don't care if Aaron did say this is Yahweh that brought you up out of Egypt. And you're definitely not serving him in truth, doing what you're doing. Moses went and broke the covenant because the tables, because they had already broken his covenant. But Moses asked who was on the Lord's side. Levi came. And Levi put to death all of those
that would not repent and come be on the Lord's side. That was a covenant. God gave them a covenant that they would have the priesthood. Now we see in the book of Numbers chapter 24, if you read 24 to about 25, Balaam was unable to curse the children of Israel, but what Balaam did was he taught Barak that you could teach the people how to stop serving God in spirit and truth. So he got them to lay up with the Midianites, with the Midianite women. And so when they got up with the Midianites, Balaam made money, he was a prophet, and the people stopped honoring God as he was, start getting with their gods and their women. They start doing the wrong kind of worship, which was not acceptable, and they stopped living in truth. They were not supposed to mingle with those women. And one man and this woman were in front of the people. God had sent a plague upon the people to kill them. And a man named Phinehas, bless the Lord for Phinehas. I would love to just talk to him. Phinehas, without talking to Moses, without talking to Aaron, without talking to Joshua, without talking to Caleb, the Bible said he got a spear and he ran and he stabbed the man and the woman and he killed them both. In their fornication dirt. Killed them. And the Bible said the Lord stopped the plague. And God said, I'm going to use a vernacular today. I like that boy. I like that. I like him. He was jealous for the Lord. And he stopped the plague. And I'm going to give him a covenant of peace. Rest fully assured, Levi was given a covenant of peace. Phinehas was given a covenant of peace. That's because you're supposed to do the truth by me. A covenant of shalom is that you have enough integrity inside of yourself that you want my truth, you want my judgment, you want my laws, you want everything done according to my way in spirit and in truth, acceptably honoring me. And when you have the covenant of peace, you can give it to others. That was your job. When you feared me, that's who you were. What is this? Look at the verbs that are used in verse 6. Read what I did what you do. Read verse 6 and notice the verbs. I'll tell you when to get one, the first part. Read.
The law of truth was in his mouth.
Do you see that verb? Was. It's not in your mouth. I have to go way back then to get when Levi had the law of truth in his mouth. Read some more.
And iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity.
And what did he do?
And did turn many away from iniquity.
That's our job. That was their job. That's our job. But if we walk in iniquity ourselves, how dare we to judge somebody when they're wrong and we're doing the same doggone thing? You want to hear the words of wisdom come from my lips? You want to hear the truth coming from my lips? You want to hear what he said, the law of truth in his mouth? Okay, thou art therefore inexcusable, old man. Whosoever you are to judge a man when you do the same thing, do you think you'll escape the judgment of God? Or do you take God's goodness, kindness, and forbearance and not realize that you're storing up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God who will judge every man according to his works? When you do the same thing, you condemn yourself. Now that's the truncated version of Romans chapter 2, 1 through 5. Read 7, Dree.
For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people.
What I'm going to do, I want to read one more scripture. I want us to pick up on this on Saturday because this is just too much for us to just jump through it and throw it away. I got one more scripture for Dree to read. Dree, go to Isaiah 9 and 15. We're going to pick up on this. Because I'm going to show you with the Lord's will on Saturday how this thing actually, if you don't get it right in the home, you're not going to get it right in the assembly. Your whole priesthood will be messed up because you can't get it right in the home. And I'm talking about we men that have wives. There's nothing in this particular passage say anything about a woman. I mean, God's laws and his statutes are applicable to women, but this is God straightening out the men folk. Now, old folks say men folk. This is God straightening out the men folk. If you will, Dre, look at the sweet word of God and go to the 9th chapter, and I want you to look at verse, let's just say 15.
The ancient and honorable. He is the head.
The old man, the one you honor is the head. Go ahead.
And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail.
This is the problem. You got people that's supposed to be serving me, accepting me, that's supposed to know me, and they're up here serving me under lies. It's unacceptable. You don't honor me with that. Read.
For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed.
We will stop there. I could go on, but you know, this is Thursday. The Bible's not going to stop being beautiful by Saturday. It's going to still be beautiful. When we look at Malachi the way it's supposed to be, if Israel was the head, and God said it would be the head and not the tail, then the head of the head should be the head. So Israel, 12 tribes, one tribe set aside for God, Levi. Joseph is broken into two tribes, so that you would have 12 tribes, and Levi would be God. So really, you would have 13. Joseph is split up into a tribe of Ephraim, and then you would have what is called Manasseh. So then you still have 13. And so Levi was God. And so Levi, God was his inheritance. God was his portion. So inside of the one that's the head, they had a head, Levi. And inside of Levi, then you had those that officiated as the priests. Okay, so they had a head, the priest. And then inside of that, you had the high priest. So inside of that, you had one man that actually going to embody a position just like Christ and would be able to go in before the Father, with God on the throne, and go in like you're at the right hand of the Father. You had to go in there carefully, and you sprinkle the blood with your fingers 7 times. We know about that. We went through it. But the point being made is somewhere along the line, the head of the head got sick. And then the ones that are supposed to straighten out the priest when they were wrong, the prophets, he got wrong. He was supposed to be anointed. The high priest was supposed to be anointed. And the king was supposed to be anointed. All three offices were supposed to be under one head, God, one covenant head, God. The king Ahab would do wrong. The king even, Jehoshaphat did wrong. Yes, he got what they have. I can name a lot. Almost every one of my names would be wrong, so I ain't no point in naming them all. And the prophets would prophesy lies, and then the priesthood would treat God with contempt. And you wonder why they couldn't have justice. You wonder why God was upset. And you wonder why God was going to smear dung on their faces. I'll give you more about that because God said a lot of times. What does that have to do with us? We call ourselves the people of God. Can we look and not see that God is not pleased with us? Can we not see that those people in the book of Acts turn the world upside down? Can you not see people mock us and most of the time they're right? Can you see that those that claim the name of God, they don't like truth? Can you see the people that claim the name of God, they are what we call racist? They do things of partiality and hypocrisy. Not my child. Well, my mama told me when I was little, and somebody said, are you Tim Merritt's mama? She wouldn't say, no, my son didn't. She said that she would say within herself, Lord, what have you done now? That's honesty. Fear would come in her heart. Now I go into Tadmore Elementary. Are you Tim Merritt's mama? Yes. But there are people. Just like that woman whose son that strong arm robbed that man. My son wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't hurt anybody. I'm a child of God and I'm going to sit there and go along with you? No. The Bible don't say kill a man for robbing and stealing. No, it doesn't. But I'm going to show you Saturday, if the Lord will, that the man that has the sword for God, the man that has the sword to keep justice and honor, you're supposed to fear him if you're in the wrong, because he does not bear the sword in vain. And when they are doing righteous and they're doing righteousness and they're defending you and defending me against predators, he is in the right. If the man is supposed to be defending us and doing stuff, if he's the one that's doing wrong to us and doing tyrannical stuff, that individual is in the wrong. He is bastardizing the office that God has given him, and he needs to be judged and brought down too. Whether it's an officer of the police force or whether it's a government. And there are ways that God deals with issues like that. But I've been doggone if I'm going to stand up and I'm going to indict everybody that has authority. Because the moment somebody break in this house and I'm here, I want them to come and help me. I'm not going to dislike somebody because of their skin color. I'm going to dislike you because of the way you treat God and the way you treat me. Till you repent. I'll live peaceably as much as I can with you. Other than that, I'm going to leave you alone. So I'm going to try to get somebody to come and take you away. Better learn judgment if we're going to be the priesthood of God. People are supposed to learn wisdom from us and equity at our lips. We're supposed to be giving God praise in the life that we live. We're supposed to be modeling. And the last thing, and I promise you I'll sit down on this one. Now, I'm not talking about sitting down from my seated position. I'm talking about sitting down, let me shut up. Whatever we do when it comes to judgment and how we assess things, and who we call good, who we call bad, we're teaching our children. And you want to see people see corrupted? You continually watch people call the good bad, and the bad good, and if they continually do things like that, a child would learn which one to honor, and which one to dishonor, and our seed will be corrupted. We do that a lot. In the religious world, the men are supposed to be ministers, men of God. And we make our children honor the dishonorable. Father, I ask you to help us have our mindset to serve you in spirit and truth, that our lips would keep wisdom and honor, and we would uphold your name, and that we would speak the words that you want. Because if we don't, we just might as well be carried away just like the guts and the dung and the hoofs of the animal outside to a clean place and be burned. It's not good for anything. Help us to be who you want us to be. To honor you and the laud of your magnificent name. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the magnificent Christ. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.